Amen. Amen. Good morning, Relentless Church. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. You'll never, ever, ever get it wrong if you live from that standpoint. This week is our last week in the series of Win the War in Your Mind. Last week, I talked about the fact that we are faced with a world of realities that we didn't create. We talked about Adam and Eve, how Adam was created, but he was then placed into the world that had been created for him, and God gave him a command, and that was to dominate the environment, to dominate the earth, that everything would come under his authority and his dominion. And so we talked last week about how we are to dominate our present reality as children of God, that we have been created to dominate, but we have been placed into a world and into situations that are, because the world is broken, that we are now having to live in, but we are not to be under those things. We are to dominate those things as children of God. And then as I went home, and I've been thinking this week, and I've been, okay, like, how does that work? How does it work for us to dominate our reality? How does it work for us to be able to look at our present situation and our circumstances? And how does it work? I want to say one thing to you. Winning the war in your mind will never be won by one decision. So if you believe it's about one decision, you're going to lose the battle. I have lost so many battles in my life because I have believed it's been about one decision. It's been about a grand gesture that's going to solve the problem. That it's a grand gesture towards the solution is going to sort it all out. And your decisions and my decisions determine the direction of our life. In a couple of weeks, we're going to go on a journey to Heathrow Airport, me and Barry. It sounds very glamorous, but it's to drop our son off, who's doing the glamorous part by going to Australia for a month. Okay, so Adam has made a decision that he is going to go to Australia. Barry and me have made a decision that we're going to go to Heathrow and dream, right? But the fact is, Adam is planning his trip to Australia, and we are planning, or I am planning, I am over-planning. For anybody in this church knows me, knows I'm an overplanner. I am overplanning the trip to Heathrow. But the thing is, our destination is Heathrow. Adam's destination is Australia. Those destinations are determined by the decision that we have made as parents and Adam has made for his own life. But there is a journey to that destination. So if we sit here and we go, okay, we're going to take Adam to Heathrow, we're not going to get there based on that one decision. Because for us to get to Heathrow, to get our son to get his plane to Australia, we've made a decision to go to Heathrow, but there are many decisions that need to be put in place to uphold us getting to our destination. Once we put the postcode into the sat-nav, we aren't at Heathrow. There are lots of turns that need to be made and changes that need to be made and tweaks that need to be made and times when Barry realizes we're hitting a block here because of the traffic and actually there's a better route that we didn't realize because the sat-nav is going to guide us through that. But our decisions determine the direction and destination of our lives, and therefore we cannot win the war in our mind based on one decision. We can make a decision about the war in our mind. We can make a decision about those difficulties. We can make a decision about those addictions. But it's the pre-decisions, all those little decisions that make up making that decision a reality. We've just recently had to have a brand new roof on our house. We're still crying it about it because of the price, but we're all right. We're in counselling. But one thing I learned about the roof, which is very little to be fair, right, because Barry actually got up and looked at it and everything. I didn't do that. Although he was up on the roof when I told him that Klopp had resigned from Liverpool, and he stood on the end of the scaffolding. This is not in my preach, but I'm going to tell you anyway. He stood on the edge of the scaffolding, right, and we have like a very, very old house. We've not lived in it yet. We bought it 2 years ago. I've not lived in it yet because it's such a bad condition. And he stood on the end of the scaffolding, and I shout up, I go, Barry, Barry. And he goes, what? I went, Klopp's leaving Liverpool. And he went, are you joking? I was like, no. And then I didn't realise it was such a big decision. I probably wouldn't have told him when he was balancing on the end of the scaffolding. Anyway, What I do know about the roof is, so our house is 300 years old, and the roof would go like this, and then it'd dip. And it was like, it was absolutely shot. Now, for me, to look at it, all that needed was new slates putting on, because it was going to look beautiful then, right? But one thing I learned about roofing is that the people who did it, the roofing company that did it, okay, they had to put in a smaller structure underneath, small battens, medium battens, big battens, I don't know if they're called battens, purlins, rafters. They had to do all of this. They built a structure that would support the main thing that needed to take place, which was a new roof. When we make a decision to change a direction in our life, to change the way that we're living, that is all the pre-decisions that we make beforehand, before a catastrophe hits, and we end up veering away from the decision, the one decision we made based on our emotions and our feelings at the time. All those pre-decisions that we do ahead of time, what it does is it is the support structure that upholds the ultimate decision for your life-changing moment. And so today, I don't want you to walk out of here as a great decision maker. I want you to walk out of here as a phenomenal pre-decision maker. I want all of us to be able to look at, what are the little decisions that I need to make in my life that will make sure that whatever this thing is I need to change in my life, that those things are in place to uphold that. Because if not, what happens is, the danger of us lying on one decision is that I've done it, I will make a decision, I am not doing this anymore, and I'm strong. And then my mind starts to pull me. You see, my behaviors are based on my mind. It's like a vicious circle, okay? It's like a revolving door. And so I will make a decision, but then what happens is my mind will begin to pull me, and I'm like, no, I'm pulling back because I'm really strong. But then as that mind, as days go on and weeks go on, and it pulls me even stronger and pulls me even stronger, and the behavior pulls me stronger and the temptation pulls me stronger, eventually I am weak. And I end up crossing that line that I've gone in my decision, I am not doing this anymore, because my mind, the force of my mind is so strong, it pulls me over. And then what happens, I go, well, I know Vicky said, well, that sounds weird because I am me, but you know what I mean. I know it says that we're meant to dominate, but I can't dominate because this dominates me. And it's because all I've done is made one decision, that I'm not going to do it anymore. And that one decision is crucial and vital. I'm not saying it's not. But what I want you to look at today, as we look at the Word of God and what God is saying to us as his body today, is that decision needs to be supported and upheld by lots of other decisions. Because if not, we start strong, and then we're forced to make a decision along the way in our emotions, which changes our destination. So winning the war in our mind needs a plan. I say this phrase so many times, no one goes to battle. A soldier never goes to battle without a plan. Yeah. They do not go to battle and be like, oh, I'm going to cross my fingers, which I don't believe in. You can tell I don't do it very often because I'm struggling. Right. Oh, I'm going to cross my fingers. I'm just going to hope it's all going to be okay. And I'm not going to get blown up. No, they have a plan. Right. They have a plan. And so lots of small decisions will uphold and support the main decision that you are making about the direction and the value of your life. Right. Our behaviors come from the war in our mind, our habits, our wrong beliefs, the vicious circle that we go around in of, oh, I'm back here again, I'm never going to win. Like, is that just me? Or does anybody else feel like that about things, where you're just like, oh, back again, back at square one, two steps forward, two steps back, three steps forward, three steps back. But if we make a decision about a line that you don't want to cross, with a support structure in place to uphold, like what happened with our roof, then what will happen is you will have that strength. As that tug of war feeling starts to happen with your mind, you will have those things that are going to keep you strong and in place. Remember, you were created to dominate your present reality. You were created to dominate your flesh. You were created to dominate your mind. And some people in this room, you've forgotten that. and you just feel that your flesh and these things that are going on, when I talk about your flesh, I'm talking about the things that you yourself want to do even though you know they're not right. When your flesh is all over the place and you know, and you're just like, it's just too much. No, you're a child of God, and the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So therefore, if that spirit raised Christ Jesus from the dead, brought him out of the tomb, the stone was rolled away, then you can win the war in your mind. Matthew chapter 6 verse 41 says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This talks about being alert, being intentional. Be intentional to watch. Be intentional to pray. You need a battle plan. Here's an example. Adam and Eve, when they ate from the tree, they didn't make pre-decisions not to do it. They didn't even know that they needed to do that. Eve responded in the moment. But we know we have an enemy who prowls around. We know that those temptations are there. We know that Jesus says, keep watch. Be alert. Be on your guard. We all know most of us maybe, if you're around, been around church, the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. And I'm going to just read the first five verses. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can, and then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight in to the town. To dominate the promised land, Joshua didn't just wait for day seven. He didn't sit there and go, oh, well, on day seven, the walls are going to come down, so I'll just kind of wait for it. No, God gave him a plan. He gave him a plan. He was like, before day seven, these are the little decisions that you need to make ahead of time, Joshua. This is the plan that you need to put in place for you to dominate the promised land that I have given to you, that seems like it's locked away, like you're never going to get it. If you do these things ahead of that victory moment, your day seven will come. Now, the important thing here, God had said that. So here, I know God is speaking in here today. I know this isn't me. God has given it me. He's using it me like he uses every single preacher in this church. But I know that God is speaking. So you could be there and go, okay, that's brilliant. Now, here's the important thing. Joshua activated the plan. So if you walk out of here today and you don't activate the plan, it's not my fault. If you walk out of here today and you don't activate a plan, it's not God's fault. God is doing what God does, and he's speaking to us, and he's delivering a message to us. But if you go on and read that, I would encourage you to Joshua chapter 6, go and read it. Joshua activated the plan, but days 1 to 6 were part of day 7. Okay? And that he had to do what was needed to do. And we know that we have an enemy prowling around. 2 Corinthians 2:11, just paraphrasing it, Paul says in this, he says, I'm writing that the enemy will not outsmart us. I feel like today's message is exactly what Paul is writing. I feel that today's message is one of these messages where it's like, okay, this is a spiritually practical message. So that the enemy will not outsmart you. So that you leave here and you are completely on your guard. You have your battle plan in place and you are strong. We give in to the war in our mind most times because we aren't ready for the attack that's about to take place. That, how many of us plan to wreck our lives? Like, I have done some massive things in my life that are just wholly wrong. I did not plan to wreck my life. I did not plan to wreck other people's lives by my decisions. I've never planned on other occasions to be the weaker party. I've never planned any of that. No one of us planned to do that. But the reality is, if we're not alert and if we've not got our mind switched on and we're not aware of the enemy that prowls and we haven't got a battle plan in place, the reality is that in those moments we will begin to rely on our emotions and on our feelings, and we will either do things that are going to wreck our lives, do things that are going to wreck other people's lives, or we're going to feel so overwhelmed and weak that we're going to retreat and we're not going to act like we're the head and not the tail as we've been created to be. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Children of God, if you have given your life to God, you are a child of God and you are an overcomer. This plan is not just a good idea. This plan is not something you're going to just pick up on TikTok and or look on Instagram and go, well, their life looks great. What's their bullet points that they use? No, this plan is about God being at the center and standing firm in your faith as a child of God. So what's the line for you that you're like, this is my main decision. I have got a line that I never want to cross. Again, what is that line? It could be overspending. Like, let's get really practical. Like, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. Say, a few months ago, I had to delete the Amazon app off my phone.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because literally, you can buy whatever you want any time of the day. 1 a.m. in the morning, I couldn't sleep. I'd be thinking about, oh, what does Charlotte need for school? Or, you know, oh, what kitchen appliance do we need? And I'm like, oh, man, I've got to delete this app off my phone. And I was like, I'm drawing a line. I remember in January, you know, you'll see it all on billboards. You go, dry January, nobody drinks in January and everything. That wasn't my, I was like, my January, no spend, no lend. That was my January. I drew a line after our Christmas. We have a big family. I'm like, January, kids, no spend, no end. But let's get practical. Okay, what about rage? Where's a line that you're like, I know I've got a temper, and I don't want to cross his line, but I keep crossing that line. Anger, loose talk, gossip. Oh, man, I keep finding myself gossiping again, and I feel filthy afterwards. I hate it. Where's that line that you want to cross? Swearing, negative talk, self-harm. How many times, maybe for you, you're there and you self-harm, maybe in the quiet of your room, and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, and I'm drawing a line. But how many times does the revolving door keep happening? Addictions, overeating, pornography, lack of self-worth, where you're constantly telling yourself stuff. But I want to say today, I've got all kinds of props down here, it's very exciting. I want to say today, right, we are going to draw a line. And I'm going to put this on the platform, but I want you to be, Nate, what's your line? What's your line where you're like, I know God is speaking to me today, and I know I've got a problem with, and I just can't overcome it. What's your line? What's God saying to you today? What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And as we put this line down, this in my head, this worked, everybody. Oh, Barry, there we go. You see, Barry jumped up then because he knew, Vicky, in your mind, this is going to work. And it didn't. I only need a little bit. I'm not going to crash into the guitars or anything. No, oh no, I never do straight lines. I actually don't.
What is that?
Okay, I never do straight lines. If you ever come into church and the seats are wonky, if you ever come into church and the seats are wonky, guaranteed I will have set them out. Jeff Mullen used to say to me, oh my gosh, he used to go behind me and sort it all out. But here's the thing, right? So you've got a line that you're not going to cross. I want you to have a think of the war in your mind like a tug of war, right? And so this is the line that you don't want to cross. Now, on this side, we have the mind. Like, I've got loads of people queued to do things. I hope you're all switched on and ready. On this side of the line, you've got your mind. If the mind would like to pick up the rope, I thought this rope was going to be thicker than this. I didn't realise you had to read the descriptions. I've got a very long one. And so you've made a decision that you're not going to do this anymore. Okay? And at first you're really, really strong because you've just made this decision. And the mind might tug you a little bit and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. And the mind might tug a little bit more and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. But then what happens, because there's no support system in place for you, there's no structure to uphold the power of your mind that the enemy is going to throw at you, when the mind properly tugs you and pulls you, you can do it, mind. And you cross over the line, like, this is what's happened to me. I've gone, yeah. I tried, and I just can't do it. You know, I'm not going to go into this part of my testimony because many of you have already heard it. But one of the things I drew a line down in my life many years ago was this. I was not going to get caught up and eaten up and taken out by the panic and the anxiety I was suffering from through the loss of my dad. I'd done it for years. By this point, for about four years after he died, I struggled really, really badly with the anxiety and panic of grief that I hadn't dealt with. And it was getting very, very bad. And I would say to myself, because I didn't want to live that way, so I would say to myself, I am drawing a line. I am never going to get in this situation again where I have to excuse myself from a room and run up to the bathroom and hide at family events because somebody has mentioned his name. I'm not going to do that any longer. But then what would happen? My mind would pull me and my emotion would take over, and I lived in a way of, I'm never going to be free from this. This is going to dominate me my entire life. But you've got to do something about it. The reason why I was getting pulled over the line all the time, there's a phrase and it says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And I had to change the way I was doing this. And the way I did it was, I truly, truly gave it to God. I never prayed about it, because I had been praying about it. I got to a point, I was like, God, I cannot do this any longer. I need you. I need you. And I began to fight for my freedom, and I began to fight and dominate my reality that though my life may have presented me with this, I will not live like this any longer. I am a child of God, and the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Did that suddenly set me free? I didn't feel like it did. But what I did know was that if I put small things in place, and God guided me with this, and I'm going to share with you what God guided me in, because it worked. I knew that if I put things in place, then one day I won't need these things because I will be strong. But right now, I can't support the decision that I'm not going to get caught up in all this mess and anxiety and emotional mayhem I was in my mind. You might go, Vicky, this isn't going to work for me. Your plan's not going to work. Well, it won't then. Yeah, it won't. You are absolutely right. Because there's another saying, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are right. Yeah. And so you need a defense army. A defense army is a resistance against the enemy. Okay? And this is based on your predecisions. Your decision is upheld and supported by these decisions, and you are on your guard. So I'm going to share with you, very briefly, a blueprint for your battle plan. I would recommend that you get something out to take notes so you can write down these points, because they're not my points, they're God's points. So you're not writing down anything that Vic is telling you. But I was constantly working with God while I was going through this. After I'd made that decision, no, I am going to fight. I'm not going to do this any longer. Then it was about my journey. That was the decision I made. But it was about my journey, and it was about my journey with God. And can I tell you this? Sometimes God was really and I mean this in the best way, aggressive with me in the sense of got my attention, kind of like, you know, when you say, you want to give you a shake. Other times he was the perfect gentleman and he just led me by the hand and he knew how broken I was. But when I did this with God, I was free. I'd never, ever been free before from what I was struggling with. So I want to tell you today, this works because it's God's plan. It's not my plan. So get your notes out. So this is what I did, and I'm going to put this into different words for you. The question I would say you need to think about and you need to ask yourself, pray to God about, take this away, have quiet time with God, is what, who, or where creates a trigger point for you? So it could be a certain relationship creates a trigger point for you that you know in that relationship you end in a certain place, that you could end up there emotionally. It could be that your mind and your emotions are causing a behavior. So it could be that through a certain relationship, you know you're ending up sleeping with somebody outside of marriage and you're in sexual sin. It could be that. It could be in an environment. It could be that, you know, if I go to that environment, this is what happens to me. So when I, in my early 20s, I gave my life to God, I had to make some massive life changes. Massive, right? Because I knew I didn't want to end up where I'd come from. Because I tried doing it without God for several years and I was really poor at it. So your devices. Say, for example, you struggle with pornography, you struggle with gambling, you struggle with wasting time and you start scrolling. Your devices, is that a trigger point for you? Music can be a trigger point. Loneliness. What, who, and where creates a trigger point for you? How can I protect myself from it until I am strong is number two. And number three is my decision is this. Name your decision. And now I'm going to share with you what my pre-decisions were to uphold my decision about I am not going to take, let the loss of my father take me to those places ever again. So what I'm going to share with you now are the things that I had to do in my life to make sure while I was weak, I had that strong support system underneath. The first thing is accountability, a go-to person, somebody that you can trust. I had somebody that I could go to, that I was accountable to, that I could trust, somebody godly, okay? You can't take counsel from the ungodly because they can't guide you onto God's path if they're not on God's path themselves, amen? Amen. Next one, I'm going to go through these quickly. Godly company. Godly company is important, okay? Then the next one is prayer. I learned that I needed to pray more, that I needed to talk more with my God. Somebody said to me a few weeks ago, a friend of mine, and they're not a Christian, and they asked me to pray something they were going through, and I was like, of course I will. Do you know you can pray as well? I was like, it's just like chatting to God. It's like chatting to your friend. Prayer matters. Reading my Bible, I realized I've got to read my Bible more so that I can be strong spiritually. The next one was a midweek group. I attended every midweek group that was going. I think everybody thought I was in the kids' club, time in the minute game there. I attended church midweek groups. If you want life-giving groups, you need to be in Christian groups. Church on a Sunday. When I, in my early years, we had church on a Friday night, church on a Sunday morning, church on a Sunday night, and that didn't include your weekday activities. I was everywhere. Why? Because I knew without a support structure to uphold the main decision that I was not going to let the loss of my father take me and derail me again and put me in revolving door. Without these things, choosing joy and thankfulness every day, I would decide I'm going to find something to be thankful for. I might be heartbroken inside, but I'm going to find something to be thankful for. I'm going to live as an overcomer. I'm going to live from a place of truth. I'm going to remind myself of testimonies of what the Lord has already done. I'm going to have a schedule. I'm going to make sure that I don't have, come on, Josh Emmanuel, look at it. Oh, he's ruined his sellotape. You always get one. I decided I was going to have a schedule. And my schedule was going to be built around the things of God. Because why would I not when I'd done it without him? Are you sorted with your sellotape? Okay. And I was going to choose my friendships. Last but not least, Ethan is a long-term friend of our family. He's visiting for the day and I've stuck a sign on him and made him get on the platform. Listen, when I was at this point, do you know what I had to do? I had to bin off, loads of my friendships. The reason why I had to bin off loads of my friendships was because those friendships were going to take me to a bad place where I wasn't going to be strong in God, and I wasn't strong enough to say no to them. And so I was like, right, okay, I'm not going to be able to have the friendships, but these were my non-negotiables. We didn't have gadgets back then. I'm really showing my age. If anyone's guessing, it's 48. I had a calendar on the wall in my bedroom. And so my battle plan was this. I haven't finished with you, the mind. You are on your own. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What I did on my calendar was I was like, I am not going to cross that line and let the loss of my father dictate my life any longer. These are the things I'm going to put on my calendar. I'm going to put church on a Sunday on my calendar. Because like Sophie's got at the end, I had non-negotiables. The things of God were my non-negotiables. Now here's the thing, accountability, a godly person, godly company, friendships, all of those things, they were part of my non-negotiables because I needed to live in a godly way. And without those things being godly too, I would be weak. Now, suddenly what happens is when all you have is you in the mind, you're this side, you in the mind, the mind's talking, not anymore. Because what the mind has to cope with all of this. Can you see? When you make a decision, we're really putting Jeff out here. But when you make a decision that I am not going to cross this line ever again, today, on the 29th of April, is it the 29th of April? 28th of April, tested. On the 28th of April, 2024, I have put a line down that I am not going to cross it again. But the difference here is I've done that line before. Here's the difference. I'm going to make sure I am intentional about pre-decisions, about a support structure that is going to uphold my decision of I will not cross that line ever again. And my support structure and my non-negotiables were the things of God, because it is the things of God that will win the war in your mind. Parents, I'm going to say something to you. As a child that was raised by Christian parents, and as a Christian parent myself, you've got to do this for your children. Because the enemy wants your children's minds. There are lots of things that is pulling for your children's attention. One of the things I, as the mom, have made a choice of, that I was going to teach my children, even at times when they were going to hate me for it, that they were going to keep their eyes on Jesus. Because if their eyes were on Jesus, they wouldn't end up in the wrong place. On Mother's Day, I received some Mother's Day cards, right? My girls always write long, lengthy things in the cards. My boys, not normally. But both of my boys in the Mother's Day cards are going to be 21 soon. And at times, they've hated me for the decisions I've made. I wouldn't let Adam. He loved football. And then football changed to a Sunday. I was like, you can't go, son, sorry. Why? Because I knew this structure mattered to me, so it had to matter to my children. And so the boys wrote in my card along the lines of separately that they thanked me for raising them in the ways of God. That Adam said, thank you for teaching me to keep my eyes on Jesus, because everything else I can give them will come to nothing if their relationship with God is wrong. If you desire your kids to have a strong relationship, pay the price as a parent. Charlotte started netball the other night. First night, I'm stood there to go. And so the matches are on a Sunday, so I do the little walk. I've been doing it for years. Do the little walk over to the netball teacher. I was like, oh, your match is always on a Sunday. She was like, yeah, I'm really sorry, I can't make a Sunday. Charlotte's not going to be able to make a Sunday. Because actually, what we do as a family, we put a strength into our family unit and we do church. So suddenly your mind is weakened because of the structure that's in place and the worship team are waiting to get on. Thank you very much, guys. I am bringing this into land. Worship team, you can chuck your signs off. And I wondered why I've not got my twinkly bits. I'm looking, thinking, I've only got a few minutes ago, where's my twinkly bits? It's because Josh was my prop. Sorry, Josh. Okay. In closing, the war in your mind is completely, completely defeated if you live that way and if you dominate it. But what you've got to do in this moment now, just a prayer, you and God. Not me, I might be up here. But you and God. You've got to be honest and vulnerable with where you're at. Honest and vulnerable. Can we be okay for a moment that we're maybe not as strong as we make out? Like, do you feel comfortable with that? I'm going to speak as a woman to the men for a minute. I don't know whether that's okay, but I'm going to, because I am woman. I'm a woman. Men, it's okay to admit you're not as strong as you make out. Because I believe that's an enemy, a tool that the enemy will use against men in our time. That because of this need to act strong and to always, and men are strong, I believe that. But I believe sometimes men are trapped in mental health because, and it happens to women as well, but God put this on my heart to say to the men, it's okay to admit and to say, actually, I'm not as strong as you all think. But you know the safe place you can go to with that is to the one who knows already. Let's not sit here as God ministers to us and be proud. Chapter James 4, 6 to 8, and God gives, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. As the worship team just ministering this song now, come close to God. Weakness, vulnerability and emotions are all okay. But what God is saying today is, where are you at? Like, God's going, I already know. But be honest with me, where are you at? Ask God to show you. Only when you're honest can you dominate your present reality as a child of God. And your present reality can't dominate you any longer then. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me.